bit low and I still don't understand what's the low.
Everybody else, do you understand? What page? When a certain student does something and it is similar to what many students will do, usually lamas will take that example and give a teaching based on that to counter that student and counter many people in the future who might do that. So some people in the audience will think, oh, the lama's giving a teaching and he's pointing fingers at me. But that's their narrow-mindedness. You see, how do you give a teaching to oppose something if there's no situation to oppose? So if one of the students talk or act or do something in such a way that's harmful to themselves and others, then the lama will give a teaching. And the lama will give a teaching to help that person and to help many people who might come across that situation in the future. So what it says is how to know the know. Everybody here is proficient in English and understand how to know. Know means to comprehend, K-N-O-W. And the second know is the big no-no, to do know. What it means is this. There was a giant no. That no rained. That no created a tremendous blizzard. That no made a dent on the coffee table. That no was the greatest no of no-nos in the universe. That showered and hailed. That no created sunshine and simultaneous eclipse of the sun and the moon. That no was a lady's legs with nicely heeled shoes. That no is the best no of all. When a gentleman smiles, a good man, that no is the beauty of the hips. And when you watch the gait of youths as they walk with alternating cheek rhythm, when you watch their behinds, that no is fantastic thighs, not fat or thin, but taut in their strength, lovable and leavable. That no is shoulders that turn in and expand at the chest, sad or happy, without giving in to deep sigh. That no is no of all no's. Relaxation or restraint is a question. Nobody knows that big no, but we alone know the no. This no in the big sky painted with a sumi ink eternally, the big no is tattooed on our genitals. This big no is not purely freckles or birthmarks, but this big no is a real big no. Sky is blue, roses are red, violets are blue, and therefore this big no is no. Let us celebrate having that monumental no. The monolithic no stands up and pierces heaven. Therefore, monolithic no also spreads vast as the ocean. Let us have the great sunshine with this no, no. Let us have full moon with this no, no. Let us have cosmic no. The cockroaches carry little no-nos as well as giant elephants in African jungles. Copulating no-no and waltzing no-no, guinea pig no-no. We find that all information instructions when a mosquito buzzes, we find some kind of no-no. Let our no-no be the greatest motto. No-no for the king, no-no for the prime minister, no-no for the worms of our subjects. Let us celebrate no-no so that Presbyterian preachers can have speech impediments in proclaiming no-no. Let our horses neigh, no-no. Let the Vajrasanga fart, no-no. Giant no-no that made a great imprint on a coffee table. What's incredible is that Trigun Thungbat is a great poet. So he took the divine and combined it with the mundane to give you a meaning on the ultimate no. The ultimate no is a transliteration or a translation of emptiness. Perceiving or seeing something and then judging that perception that we have seen and then acting out that upon that perception is the big no. Seeing something and then from that perception of seeing or hearing or tasting. Seeing in this case doesn't just mean eye. It means with our sensory abilities to perceive. So when we perceive or see something based on what we have seen, we act out. When we act out and from that an action comes back, that is called a big no. Why is that? How we perceive things in the Buddhist ultimate context is empty of existence or not correct perception. Why? Because how we perceive things is based on our contaminated aggregates or contaminated views. That means If we look at Joey, if he goes to Vietnam, we'll say he's Vietnamese. If he's in Cambodia, we'll say he's Cambodian.
If he's in Malaysia, we'll say he's Chinese. If he's in Japan, we'll say, oh, he's Japanese. So him being Japanese, him being Vietnamese, him being Cambodian is empty of truth. Why? Because if I'm in Cambodia, I base the fact that just because he's there, he resembles them, he's Cambodian. So that's not true. Why? That's based on my contamination. If I had clairvoyance, or I had the power of the mind to perceive, then if I look at him, I'll know, oh no, he's not Cambodian, he's actually Malaysian. So what happens is, many of the things that we perceive in life is wrong, is a no. If we get married, we'll have happiness, we'll have company, our kids will take care of us, and we'll have love, we'll have fulfillment. That's a lot of the times it doesn't turn out like that. Many of the times, the kids become a drain for us. We have to work our butt off until we're wrinkled and until we're dried up to take care of the kids. And the kids many times turn out to be disappointments. They don't want to listen to us. They don't take care of us. They do their own thing. Example, look at American kids. A lot of kids grow up very disrespectful of their parents. So what happens is, this perception that if I get married and I have kids and I'm going to have fulfillment and happiness and I'm going to be really, really happy is a big no. Why is that a big no? Because it's not the truth. Oh, if I have a lot of money, if I have a lot of cars, and I have a big bank account, and I have a very big business, then I will be very secure. I will be very secure, and I'll be very, very happy, and people will respect me, and I won't have any problems. And we all know that that's a big no. Why is that a big no? The big no and a small no is small. It's different. The big no means the truth of existence. The truth of existence. So what happens is, oh, if I'm skinny, and I have nice hair, and I have nice skin, then I'm going to be loved. I'm going to be admired. I'm going to find a good partner. And the partner is going to love me, and the partner is going to take care of me, and I'm going to have a lot of no loneliness at all. That turns out to be a big no. In fact, we find out that people who are very attractive suffer more. Why? Because they tend to get used. They tend to be abused. And people don't look at them deeper. And they don't become deeper because they're focused more on their physical appearance as opposed to inner development. So these people suffer even more. So the perception that if you're beautiful or attractive, you will have a better life turns out to be a big deception or a big no. Okay, so his poem is on what? He's saying how to know the no. How to know the no, he's describing his poem. So the poem's point is already set in the title. How to know no. So what is no, N-O? No is all the things I described, our wrong projections. We project that things will be this way, we project things will be this way, we project things will be this way. So when we project that and things comes out wrong, it's no. So wrong projection is a big no. How to know, K-N-O-W, how to know the big no, he will describe now. So he wrote, there was a giant no. That no rained, that no created a tremendous blizzard, that no made a dent on the coffee table. Why? Before Chicken Chumba threw his BF, Tenzin Osel was very arrogant. You know, he wanted to be served, he wanted to have a house even better than Chicken Chumba's. He wanted people to take care of him, and he was already acting like he was Chicken Chumba before Chicken Chumba even died. Before Chicken Chumba even died, he was already acting like he's the big guru, and he was very big arrogant. So, what happened was, when Chicken Chumba slammed his hand down and dented the coffee table and broke it, it rained. No. It wasn't Chicken Chumba saying, no, you shouldn't be like that. It was Chicken Chumba saying, no! So that no was like a rain. That no was like a blizzard. What's a blizzard? What's a rain? A lot. So when Chicken Chumba screamed and threw a BF, it was symbolic like it rained on him. You know, you're walking, you're having a big parade, confetti, and music, and a live band, and you have the whole parade queen. All of a sudden it rains, what happens? Your parade's over. So he was on his little spiritual parade, but it rained on him. How did it rain? Trichin Chungpa said, no, you can't be on that. So he gave another example. That no created a tremendous blizzard. Why did it create a tremendous blizzard? Because Tenzin Ose was sitting there like, I'm somebody. A blizzard is when it's very thick and heavy, you can't see. So for a while, Tenzin Ose lost his bearing. Uh-oh, I'm not a regent anymore. I'm not who I am anymore. Like, uh-oh. Like, it's a blizzard. What's a blizzard? You can't see anymore. So Tenzin Ose can't see what's going on. And that no made a big dent on the coffee table. So you see, he's talking about the big no, as in projections. Because Tenzin Ose thought, once I get the title, I don't have to work for it. You have to just respect me. No! That's wrong perception. Then he gave another symbolism. It rained. Then he gave a bigger symbolism. It was a blizzard. You couldn't see. Then he brought it down to earth level. It made a dent. You understand that? Kenny doesn't, but he will. That no was the greatest no of no's in the universe. Why is that the greatest no of no's in the universe? You have to train your mind to think on a higher level. You're most of your life, you think small things. Eat, fun, food, look, all that. So you change your mind. Now you have to train your mind to think higher, and things will come easier. And you need to engage in doing nisama. You need to do nisama, while it's not being paid, you can think higher. A lot of these things you won't understand. Allah, trust me, I can tell just by your expression. Now, habituation. That no was the greatest no of no's in the universe. There's a double meaning there. For Tenzin Osel, it was the biggest no in the universe because suddenly his universe came to an end. Then, at the same time, due to Tenzin Osel's incident, Rinpoche is also telling us that's a very big no. Ego is a very big no. Arrogance is a very big no. And thinking you're somebody when you're nobody is a very big no. That is a very big no in the universe. Why? Who will like that kind of person? Who will enjoy that person's company? So it's a big no. And then he goes one more level in the whole universe. Why? In the whole universe, what makes us take rebirth? It's the ego. So why is that the biggest no in the universe? Because the biggest no in the universe is that ego. That leads us to have a rebirth. Understand? Very dangerous. Many levels he talks simultaneously. That's why he's such a great poet. Isn't it fantastic, Samchen? Fantastic. This poem, we should actually get it out and just keep it with us somewhere. Yeah, it's fantastic. This is how you know he's. No, this, and the meaningful is not worldly, it's from life. This is why you know he's very timid. That's why he dreams, he sleeps with women, he talks dirty, he does drugs. Don't look at that. Because when he needs to talk, oh yes. Highly realized Tibetan lamas. Don't look at their actions. You don't? Because why? Once you read the content, you go, huh? It blows your mind away. One minute he could be doing LSD with you, the next minute he gives you a Dharma talk, and you're like, and it's so deep that until it's explained to you, you don't understand the full content. It's beautiful. That's how we know they're very highly realized. Why? If he could just come up, and he's a drunk. He's a paralyzed, crippled drunk. But when he opens his mouth, it's like Shakyamuni speaking. Oh yes. Highly attained. Don't look at the actions of the Lama. Really, people like him, you don't look. That's why a lot of some of the conservative group, they read that, they go, what like that? Somebody knows. Okay, now. That no showered in hail. Why did it shower and some more hail? Hail is very strong. It's like break things, right? Because it was very fierce. Not only did it shower, it also hailed. So that means it's a complete stop to Tenzin Ose's actions. Next line. That no created sunshine and simultaneous eclipse of the sun and the moon. Oh my God. That no created sunshine and simultaneous eclipse. What does that mean? Because that stopped him from doing something so that eclipsed it. But it brought sunshine because if he stops the ego, it's even better for him. It's double. So when Trichin Chungpa screamed no to him, it eclipsed his activity negative. But it also brought sunshine positive because Tenzin Ose, what happened? He went like this. He towered on the ground in front of Ryuchi. Because Ryuchi screamed at him earlier and said, I made you, I can destroy you. Remember? So what am I saying? It also brought sunshine to Denzo Azale because why was Ryuchi doing this? To hurt him? No. To make him a better person. So if you become a better, if you stop being arrogant, is that equivalent to sunshine coming out? What does sunshine mean? End of the blizzard. End of the rain. End of the hail. So if the end of the hail, end of the blizzard, end of the rain is sunshine. What is the blizzard, hail, is no. How do you know the no? You know the no because you stop doing things that are harmful. So when you stop doing things that are harmful, symbolically, the sunshine comes out. But at the same time, it eclipses the sun and the moon. Why the sun and the moon? What's the most important stars in our sky? What holds the earth within its gravity? What makes everything grow on this planet? What keeps the oceans from going out into space? The gravitational pull of the sun and the moon. So the most important stars in the sky are the sun and the moon. It eclipses even that. What does it mean? Everything in Denzo Osa's life was finished. You're not a regent anymore. No more respect for you. The end. Finito. So it was like an eclipse. So Denzo Osa was in the darkness. But at the same time, he became a sunshine because he realized he's got to stop acting that way. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. That no was a lady's legs with nice heeled shoes. What the heck does that mean? Well, for most of us in the world, we're attracted to sex. And we like sex. Even if you're a lady, you like sex. Even if you're a man, you like sex. Even if you're an insect or a ghost or you're a god, you like sex. So sex is symbolic in our world of a very female, a sexy female lady. So a lady who's sexy is even more optimized with having sexy legs in a sexy shoe. So when you see a sexy lady, I mean in movies when you see the lady coming out of the car, the first thing you see is her shoe and her feet, you know, her leg coming out very sexy, and then they play the saxophone, and her legs come out, right? What does that mean? See, Adrian's excited. What does that mean? Oh, you smiled. No. That's a big no. He's red and excited. So you have a foot fetish. I see. Okay. Well, of course, what do you think is going to have a monkey's foot fetish? Ah, yeah. All right. Now, so when you see a lady in nice shoes, it represents lust, desire. So if you're gay, and you look at that, you may not be attracted to it, but it still represents sexuality to you. You may be a lady, and you're not a lesbian, so when you look at it, you're not, I don't want to have sex with her, but you're thinking, oh, that means sex. So everybody who sees a sexy lady's legs stick out, they'll immediately know it means sexuality, or sex, or having something to do with sex. It's a symbolism. And Chichen Chongpa is very poetic, because he takes something modern. Because in Tibet, you wouldn't use a lady's leg in heel shoes to represent sexuality because women don't wear that there and it's all covered up. It's so cold. But here they do. Okay, so it's saying that no was a lady's leg and nicely heel shoe. He's saying that sexuality or sex brings us happiness. That's a big no. It doesn't bring us happiness. It doesn't. So when he uses symbolism, what is he saying? That you guys are having sex, but don't think that that is actually, it brings you happiness. So don't be attached to sex. You can have it. So he's saying, the no was a lady's legs with nicely heeled shoes. So that also is a no. Not no to sex, but our perception that sex brings happiness. You guys understand that? Okay. Isn't that beautiful? Incredible. Okay. That no is the best no of all. Why is the best no of all? What's the creator of samsara? Desire. The minute a male and female organ joins, samsara begins. Why? The kids come out, you're committed to work, you have a slave, you have to raise them, all your time and energy goes to them, all your work goes to them, all your freedom is gone. And they grow up, same thing for them, same thing for them. It doesn't end. So is saying it's bad, it's good? No, there's no judgment. It's just a fact. Okay? When a gentleman smiles, a good man, that note is the beauty of the hips. A gentleman, a good man. When a gentleman smiles, a good man is deception. When a guy smiles at you, are we sure his intent is pure or good? For business, for a lady, for a partner, for anyone. The nose is the beauty of the hips. So when we watch youthful people, young men and young women, they're very smooth, they have wonderful gaze, and the cheek rhythm, their butts, as people like that when they walk. So what is that? It's very seductive. It's very beautiful. He's saying the nose is also, that's another deception. It looks attractive, but actually brings you more samsara. When you watch their behinds, that note is fantastic thighs. So the thighs, not fat, not thin. Taut and with strength, lovable and leaveable. What does that mean? Is that we're attracted to the beautiful body. He's using thighs as an example, but he's actually telling you we're attracted to the beautiful form. That form is also cars, houses, clothes, food, enjoyment, physical body, everything is represented by the beautiful thighs that are taut, right? So what he's saying is that that's our deception. We should apply, that's a no also. Know what? It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring really, you understand really? It doesn't bring that, but it's deception. So the no is the thighs of youths. Lovable or leaveable. That note is shoulders that turn in or expand the chest, sad or happy. So that note is what? Sometimes we're like this. Look here, please. Sad. Sometimes we're happy. So both emotions is a no. Why? It's impermanent. When we're very sad, we can become happy. When we're very happy, we can be very sad. So a real accomplished being is not sad or happy. They just watch. They just observe because neither is permanent. So if someone's very sad, that's a big no. If someone's very happy, that's a big no. What does it mean? They're not ultimately there. They can change. Don't be stuck on it. Relaxation or restraint is in question. Should we be easy? Or should we restrain ourselves? That's the question. That's the question. Why? Depends on the situation. What is that called? Applying skillful means or applying the Dhamma. So should we restrain or should we relax? It depends on the situation. So he's telling you there's not one way. That's why everything is a no. There's not one way. Without giving into a deep sigh, that no is no of all no's. Relaxation or restraint is in question. Nobody knows that big no. We alone know that no. Nobody knows that big no means what? If everybody in the world knew the no, we wouldn't be suffering. Samsara exists because nobody knows the no. Isn't that great? Yes, very deep. This no is in the big sky painted with a sumi ink internally. What is that? Because he got really pissed off, he asked for his Japanese ink and he drew it and it splattered everywhere. He wanted to make this very strong and clear. I'm giving you the Dharma to practice, become a Buddha to benefit others, not to throw a big ego trip. No. So he used Tenzin Osaka as an example of the whole organization. Because why? It wasn't just Tenzin Osaka abusing his position. There were other positions, other people abusing their positions, just like normal human beings in any organization. So he's giving a message to everybody, using Tenzin Osaka as an example. So it's a teaching for everyone. You think in his organization only Tenzin Osaka the big ego? Definitely not. Definitely not. Okay? So he's saying that big dome is in the internal sky. It's in the sky. Right? Eternally. Why? He doesn't need to paint that. He doesn't need to paint it like you see here on his calligraphy. That no is a real no existing that Buddha already talked about. No, sex doesn't bring happiness. No, ego doesn't bring happiness. Your perception of what you perceive in the world is not real, it's false because it's based on wrong perception due to your limited understanding. So everything is already a no by nature. By nature, everything's no. It's only you saying it's yes, but it ends up no because you don't know the no. How easy and deep. When I read it, I almost peed. Because I drank a lot. You like it, Joey? No, the mosquito flying around towards your right. Do you like the poem?
Yeah.
Do you find it deep?
Yeah.
Are you understanding it better?
A lot more, but yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
That makes so much sense.
Much more, isn't it?
Yeah.
Much more. But I'm only giving you a superficial, is enough. Understanding. That big no is tattooed on our genitals. That big no is not purely freckles or a birthmark. That big no is... But this big no is a real big no. So it's not just like, no, you cannot have sex. It's not just like a small birthmark to remember something. It is a real big no. Those are small no's. Small symbolisms of what we should and should not do. But the real big no has nothing to do with having sex or not having sex or symbolism. The real big no is wrong projection, wrong perception. Wrong projection, wrong perception. Sky is blue, roses are red, violets are blue, and therefore the big no is no. That one's self-explanatory. Sky is blue, but there is a sky that's red. There's a sky that's gold. There's a sky that are black. Roses are red. There are yellow roses. There are pink roses. There are blue roses. Violets are blue. Violets can be black too. Violets can be brown when they rot, when they die. So what is he saying? Everything we hold is very solid. The sky has to be blue. Women have to be attractive. Men have to make money. We have to be rich to be happy. We have to be beautiful to be happy. We have to have names to be happy. Sky is blue. Sky isn't necessarily blue. You don't have to be rich to be happy. Roses are red. Roses are not naturally red. Are not necessarily red. Doesn't pervade. There are blue roses. So, what is he saying is that everything we believe, the sky is blue, roses are red, violets are blue, everything we believe is not as we believe. It's actually a big no. Therefore, the big no is no. Let us celebrate having that monumental no. That monumental no is what monumental no is the realization of emptiness for Shunyata. The realization of emptiness is not that everything is empty. The realization that everything doesn't appear or produce what we perceive it to produce or as we see it to appear. So a handsome, rich man, a gentleman's smile, doesn't mean he's going to make us happy. He can turn out to be a womanizer, a user, a help, a wife beater. He can turn out to be someone who's really, really a cheater. So but when he's rich, he smiles, we think, wow, it must be good. That's wrong perception. So that's a big one. A beautiful lady with beautiful legs and nice heeled shoes means, oh, that's going to be really a great time tonight. But if she gets pregnant and has kids, you're finished. Your freedom's over, everything's over. So what I'm saying is that it's not her fault or your fault. What I'm saying is that there's more behind what we see. But we tend to just see that and say that's it, and then we don't go any further. So that's a big no. Why? Not going further makes us suffer. So therefore, that truth is not something Chichu Trungpa made up or Buddha made up. That is something that is eternal that they have recognized and they're sharing with us. The big no is no. It is monumental. Why is it monumental? A monument is something we erect to remember something. So the monumental no is there to make us remember why we suffer. The monolithic no stands up and pierces heaven. No stands up. The monolithic no stands up and pierces heaven. This monument is huge. And it's monolithic. And it pierces heaven. It pierces heaven means what? Heaven is our perception of what is good. It pierces it. It tells us the truth is not. Do you understand that? A beautiful woman promises you heaven. So this no pierces it. And how does it pierce it? It's not heaven. Piercing heaven means what? It's symbolic or saying it doesn't really matter. It's just a symbolic word. Therefore, monolithic no also spreads as fast as the oceans, let us have a great sunshine, but there's no no. So when we understand this no, of all no's, not the small no's, but the big no, wrong perception, when we understand that these things don't bring us happiness, it's like sunshine. The blizzard is gone. The rain is gone, no more hail. Why is it no more rain and no more hail? Because sunshine means fresh air, colorful, you can see things, happy, picnic. So this is symbolic of happiness. When we understand emptiness and we realize emptiness, it's like sunshine, why? We become Buddha. We become Buddha. So this sunshine is another symbolism for Buddha. Let us have full moon with this no-no. Let us have a cosmic no. The cockroaches carry little no-no's. Why does even the cockroach carry little no-no? Because every single being has the potential to become a Buddha. But in order to become a Buddha, they must realize emptiness, or they must realize the no. So cockroaches can die and take rebirth as humans and receive Dharma teachings to understand the big no. So what he's talking about is all sentient beings carry the potential to become a Buddha. So to become a Buddha, you have to understand the no. Do you understand? Therefore, the cockroaches carry little no-nos, meaning even cockroaches have inherent ability to become a Buddha. Therefore, they carry a no. What does no mean? Not having wrong perception. Okay? So, as well as the giant elephants in the African jungles, they also carry the no. Copulating, no-no, and waltzing, no-no. So whether you are copulating or you're dancing, it means what? All activities, this no is inherent. Means it is there. You just have to discover it. Understand? It is there. So copulating here and waltzing is just symbolism for all activities. He's going extremes. Waltzing is during the day, copulating is night, by meaning for most people. He's just going extreme. So he's covering all human activities, or all samsaric activities, with waltzing and copulation. We find all information and instruction when a mosquito buzzes. All information and instruction when a mosquito buzzes, what does it mean? It's very simple. All information and instruction, even when you hear a mosquito buzz, why? All sentient beings who have consciousness can become a Buddha. Therefore, when a mosquito buzzes, it's not an inanimate object or a dead object, it is the living consciousness that's creating the sound. So what he's saying here is, even something tiny and minute as a mosquito buzzing is representative of everyone has the ability to become a Buddha. So the information you're getting is all sentient beings who have consciousness is able to achieve the big no. What's the big no? To cut out wrong perception and achieve emptiness. We find some kind of no-no. Let our no-no be the greatest motto. That should be our life. Our life should be based on this, the big no. What is really no? He's saying don't live your life, no. Live your life with a motto. See, he's saying motto. He didn't tell you to give up. He told you to live with this motto. Meaning, realization. Okay. No no for the king. No no for the prime minister. No no for the worms of the subjects. No, let us celebrate. Okay, now he's saying no no for the kings. That means even for the highest people in the world, they should practice the no. They should know the no. Even for the prime minister, even for the worms of our subjects, it means the normal people, should practice that. Everybody on this planet should practice, from the high to the low, to rich to poor, should practice not holding on and judging and acting from wrong perception. Acting from wrong perception. Everybody understand that? Now, at the same time, he's giving a message to the people in his court. The king is himself. The king himself practices no. Also, his prime minister, which is who? Denzin Gosell. So he's giving a double meaning here. should practice the no. If he doesn't also practice the no, he wouldn't be so arrogant. He wouldn't be abusing the other students and taking advantage of this position. And all subjects. Alright? Let us celebrate no-no so that the Presbyterian preachers can have speech impediments in proclaiming the no-no. Even the Presbyterian preachers. What is he saying? What does he mean, speech impediment? Speech impediment? Everyone. Whether you're Buddhist or non-Buddhist, the reality of the fact is, when you perceive things wrong and you do actions from that, you suffer. That's all he's saying. Remember, he's in America. He's using American examples. Let our Vajra horses name no-no. I'm sorry, let the horses name no-no. The horses name no-no, even the horses have the reality. Inherent reality can come over them. Neigh is the sound that horses make. So when they neigh that, we should also realize even for horses is a no. Let the Vajra Sangha fart no no. Vajra Sangha, see Sanghas are not supposed to fart. Vajra Sangha means Mahasiddhas. People who are highly admired by Zaidong. Zaidong in the past did many weird things in China that people had his, when he was alive didn't accept him. When he died, they say he's a Buddha. But Vajra Sangha represents Mahasiddhas. Mahasiddhas do things that are unconventional to bring teachings to others. So when they fart, normal people fart, we go, ew, gross. But if a Mahasiddha farts, it's actually a blessing. Giant no-no that made a great imprint on the coffee table. So he bring it back to the one point, his rank. When he slammed his hand down on the coffee table, made a mark. Every time you see that mark, remember what it represents. That's Chigen Chongba's poem. Understand, Susanna? You like it? Questions about the poem? It dawned, huh? Did you like it? Now you do, don't you? What about you, Jody? What's your realization of the poem?
It's just like a touch you try to accept.
Very good! No eye, no ear, no taste, no sound, no touch, no feeling. Very, very good. It is the Heart Sutra in poem form. Exactly. Very good. Is exactly what the Heart Sutra tells you. No this, no that, no feeling, no consciousness, no taste, no touch, no feeling, no right? Exactly that. Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So he's giving you teachings on emptiness. Which is what the Heart Sutra was. Very good. Girlie, how do you find the poem now? Much better, right? Has a lot more meaning, but the meaning helps you to practice Dharma. That's the beauty of the poem. Emptiness on a very, on a level we can understand. Because he uses examples like a lady's well-heeled shoes and all that. In examples that we can relate to.
What do you mean by emptiness? The word emptiness is...
People think there's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's not that.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that at all. So what he's talking to you is deception. Self-deception. Should be a no. And then the big no is preconceived ideas and projections that we work from. And those are empty of existence. What's empty of existence? How we perceive something. Because why? What we perceive it on is from our limited knowledge and basis. So that limited knowledge and basis is called contaminated basis. Why is it contaminated? Because it's influenced by karma. Fantastic, isn't it?